financials for the first quarter if we turn over to page 2. So the transfer payment via the department, they received 19.5 million rand for the first quarter, and then they got an additional 1.4 million rand in donor funds from the SABC, which brings their total income for the quarter to 21 million. They indicate that they've managed to save just over 500,000 as at the end of June, and that's as a result of commissioner vacancies and cost saving on travel expenditure. They also indicate that although they've been able to make that saving for the first quarter, they don't predict that they'll be able to make that similar kind of savings throughout the rest of the year, given the other demands on their finances, and also the things that obviously have been outstanding in the first quarter that will have to be carried over for the rest of the year. So whether they'll have savings for the rest of the year is highly unlikely. They indicate that their oversight bodies for internal operations, like internal audits, the audit committee and risk management, are all fully functional, and as a result, there's been no irregular slippage and waste liquidity for the first quarter. So in terms of things impacting on the operations of the TGE, on the next thing we have got the programmatic things, but just in terms of concerns that indicate or concerns that give impact on the operations. Firstly, the members would recall there were fraud allegations that were leveled against some of the members of senior management. So, and they indicate this in the report as well as a concerning area. So I think we just need to know if the process to deal with the matter is an investigation underway. If any findings have been made thus far, could they indicate that to us? Secondly, they indicate that in June 2017, they had made double payments of salaries to employees, and had dealt with the matter, asking people to pay the money back. However, a dispute was lodged at the labor court against the TGE by one of the employees that were affected by the decision of the TGE to withhold the July salary to make up for that double payment in June. Mm-hmm. And so we just need to know what is the status of the process in that regard. If we look at the program performance thus far, at the end of June, they've managed to achieve 78% of targets, so they had 45% planned targets, and then met 36 of the targets as at the end of the first quarter. Mm-hmm. So objective number one, they planned 9 targets, and they achieved 7 of those. So what I did in those little blocks, I just highlighted the ones that were not achieved, so the members are aware of what's being carried over to the next step. So it's around the status report and the gender policies and practices using the gender barometer tool. And they were to identify government institutions to be assessed as per concept and conduct drinking sessions, and also administer the barometer tool. At this point, they only got the project concept and work plan drafted, and have identified the mining houses, but they haven't held any drinking sessions. And they're saying that there's been delayed in responses from the mining houses, impacting on the setting up those briefings, and they'll begin taking that in the second quarter. In terms of objective 2, all the targets were met for the first quarter. Just pointing out again the thing around complaint handling. We know that historically they always had an issue with closing files and having things carried over to the next financial year. I think I just wanted to point out that at the end of the last financial year, they had brought 394 files forward, and they opened 191 files during the first quarter, and they closed 169. So at the end of the first quarter, 416 files were pending. So although that is still a lot, it does show that there's progress if we think that at the end of the last financial year, they were sitting at 394 files, and at the end of the first quarter now, it's 416. Which does show that they are making progress in terms of the volume of files that they are closing, although the number is still quite high. Also in terms of the systemic investigations, they indicate to us that they concluded all those dynamic transformation of the judiciary, decriminalization of sex work, maternal health in the mining sector. So they said all the investigations that follow were completed. If they could give us any findings or reports in that regard, it would be useful. Under objective 3, they had planned 5 targets, and they met 3 of those. Now, in the presentation, they don't give any indication for why they haven't met the two outstanding ones. So the one is around having a consultative meeting with stakeholders on women empowerment and gender equality instruments. And the second one is the presentation of the 16th constitution of the CSW report, key stakeholders. In terms of actual performance, they don't tell us anything. The way that it's written here in this block is exactly how it is in the presentation, and they don't give any other information as to why those targets were not met. If they have been, why they didn't put the information in there. Under objective 4, they planned 18 targets and they achieved 16. So they just say the target for the year is a knowledge management plan and strategies to be developed. And then quarter 1 target says drop RFI and RFP. I'm not sure what that is, and I think we need to get some clarity on what specifically that means. And then the last thing is around the development and implementation of an HR strategy. So for this quarter, they were to have reviewed and approved, or reviewed the approved HR strategy. At this point, they still have not had that review. And they say it could not be done due to lack of capacity. Now, it's just a little bit of concern because this is a target that's been carried over from the third quarter in the previous financial year. This is a recurring target that's been coming on from last year already, and they now again indicate that they're going to implement it in quarter 2. So it's been coming on for 3 quarters now already, and there's no indication of what the progress is, so we just need to have more clarity around that. So, but overall, I think in terms of their spending and in terms of meeting their targets, they have performed well. They've kept within, they've stayed within the money, they've managed to achieve most of their targets. I just think the delays of the HR strategy and those matters of concern around the fraud accusations and the labor court matter. We just need some clarity around those things.
Thank you very much, from Krista. I don't know, Member Blake, do you have any questions of clarity for Honorable Robinson?
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to check, they say that they have done presentations on the CSW. Have we had a presentation on that?
No, they're saying that that's one of the targets, was to have a presentation on that, but in the report they don't indicate whether they've actually met that target they made in the
but we haven't had a
presentation.
Have we had the report
from CGE? CSW report from CGE?
We were supposed, Chair, to receive written replies to some of our questions. Did those come? I remember the chairperson was quite fierce at the end of the last session, and she was saying she wants a report within 1 week. It's more than 1 week now.
I think it's not
the department, sorry. Okay, I'm getting confused. Anyone? There's no one. Okay. No, Mrs. Christian, when you look at the report, if they have first got the report, it's only those two issues that you have mentioned. There's no any other issue that you...
No, like I said, in terms of performance,
they've stayed within the finances, they've managed to make a little bit of a saving in the first quarter, and the majority of the targets have been met. So they are quite on track with what they are supposed to be achieving.
Okay. Honorable Sekhe.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you, Chris, for the excellent briefing. I just want to check the issue of the HR strategy. And they're saying, they're citing the reason being the lack of capacity here for what they're developing. But I don't understand, because the vacancies mostly, then it was commissioners, yeah, in the commissioners at the time. So I'm not quite sure what are they trying to say when they're saying. And sure, it's not, they're just revising it, because this is a complaint, maybe it has been there in the previous years. So it's just a matter of review and, you know, yeah. So I'm not quite sure, but we'll then send the question to them.
Just in concern, I think that for me also the confusion is around the fact that annual target says implementation of the approved HR targets. And then the quarterly target says review of the approved HR strategy. So I think we also need to ask, do you have an approved strategy and has it been implemented? Firstly, and then secondly, you say you haven't been able to meet the target around the review of that strategy. So just clarity around, do you have a strategy, do you have an approved strategy, have you implemented it? And like you're saying, in terms of lack of capacity, are you saying, is it in terms of personnel or is it in terms of skills? We just need clarity around those, because if you have people there, then what is the actual problem?
Honourable members, I think we have come to an end of the report from the researcher. As we are waiting for the chairperson, but I'm still unable to get the information. Where is the chairperson? Okay. Because of tea, then we'll hand over to the chairperson. But I think they will come, must come in here. Good morning, SPGM. As we have started our meeting, I would like to give you just 5 minutes to settle. You can grab tea then and start our meeting.
Venire.
Honourable members, today I'm going to be the chairperson of this session. I'm going to give the CGE to give us the presentation. And we are going to wait for these people with the board, then I will be able to hand over to you, CGE, the acting chairperson. Let us start. Thank you.
Morning, acting chair of the session. Chairperson, honorable members, the CGE delegation, and distinguished guests, good morning. I'd like to start by introducing the delegation of CGE. On the far right is Commissioner Ngozi, and next to her is Commissioner Masondo Mazibuko, and the CEO next to me, Geketso Mayema, and then our CFO, Mshadi Kuchu, and then on the end, it's our parliamentary officer, Kamraj. And led by myself as the acting chair. Thank for the opportunity for us to come and present our first quarter report for 2017-2018. But I thought, Chair, I will just make some few remarks. Firstly, by starting congratulating the country as a whole for the celebration, fruitful celebration of the August month that we had. It has been a busy month. We were talking about it now when we're sitting outside, that there's been a lot of programs throughout the country, public sector, private sector, in general. I think there is an increased awareness on the importance of the August month. And there's been some glaring topics that I would like to refer to that we as CGE that we dealt with. In this, I think firstly it was the overall celebration of the 1956 March, and also the issue of gender-based violence. Many platforms that were open to CGE to talk and to lecture and give awareness, education on issue around issue of gender-based violence. And also we have noted a positive response from the Social Institution of Higher Learning. They had some discussion platform on transformation in the Institution of Higher Learning. And we also noted that there is now a cry in the society, in the community platform, that women are not celebrated to the level that they deserve. On their contribution in the country for the democracy that we are enjoying today, and also the failure that we're having, that we are unable to record what the role of women in the struggle of South Africa. The platforms that they're saying now, they want to start some programs that will ensure that we record the contribution of women in the struggle of our country. And also the issue of gender-based violence, gender and disability also came up, as well as the issue of the widows. The widowhood, it was another issue. And glaringly is the issue of access to land. And I think platforms that CGE has presented, the concept of one woman, one hectare, are concerned that now government has adopted one household, one hectare. They're concerned, they want to know what changed the initial concept, where the women, they were thinking that there's an opportunity for them now to own
land as women.
There's also an increased cry that women need to have their own banking system for them to be able to have access for their projects, for their businesses, because they feel that they are not bankable and the banks don't give them credit. So it's better for them that they initiate their own banking system. But I must say that with all what I've said, that it was a positive celebration in the month, there was also some negative sides where we saw some gender-based violence taking place, increased gender-based violence, increased the femicide. And also, we saw some people that had a leadership position that we expected to be role models, committing the issue of gender-based violence. And we, as the Commission for Gender Equality, we have come out openly to put our position to be against whoever commits that the issue of gender-based violence, that the law should take its own course. And there also the issue that has come up is the fact that the challenge we have as the Commission is that we feel that the restraints on the funding of the institution sometimes makes us unable to be where we're supposed to be. And we would like that in our coming planning session that we really commit on partnership as Commission for Gender Equality with specific institutions that we are funding for special programs so that we could be able to increase our visibility in the areas that we are needed as the Commission for Gender Equality. We must also note that we have noted a positive response. We remember that we have hearings on transformation in the private sector. In this month of August, we have received we had a positive interaction with the mining sector. And specifically, I want to mention Glencoe. We are in a program training them. We had already had two sessions training their management on sexual harassment, assisting them in developing policies for their institution. So there is positive side. We may not have the level we want, but at least there's some positive that has come up. And we think that we will continue to work with the private sector to ensure that the environment in the labor market also adhere to the legislation of our country. Lastly, Chair, also we did receive a report from the Eastern Cape legislation. You remember there was an issue of a sex for job in the Eastern Cape. We received a report from the Speaker of the Eastern Cape, but we did express our concern around the outcome, fear that there's been some they committed what they were accused of. But the problem is that there's been change of position. One moves from being an employee to a position of being an employer, and some they move from one department to another department to senior position. And we totally against of those as Commission for Gender Equality. We said we're going to follow up to ensure that justice is done for all those that have been perpetrated in that. Last Chair, we would like to acknowledge the invitation for your oversight program in the Northwest. And we, as the Commission for Gender Equality, we will have our delegation led by Commissioner Mazimuko, who is a deployee of the Northwest, working together with you for during the time of your oversight. I thank you. I will hand over to CEO to make a presentation. Thanks, sir.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, honorable members. I will concentrate specifically on work as contained in the annual performance plan of the Commission. This reporting period is the period for the first quarter that runs from April to June 2017. And I think, as usual, in terms of the presentation that is before you, we have tried to ensure that we link taking with priorities that are highlighted by the NDP, that are highlighted by the MTSF, as well as some of the priorities that have been highlighted through SONA. For this reporting period, we focused specifically on ensuring that we put systems in place in order to ensure that we have some guiding documents. As we are all aware, we are based in all the provinces, and therefore we normally utilize this time, the beginning of the financial year, to ensure that concepts that are drafted and are put in place to be able to guide everyone in the Commission in terms of the activities that need to be undertaken. The current reporting period as well coincides with processes that relate to compliance. It coincides as well with ensuring that we submit as compliance would require our own AFS. The annual financial statements of the previous financial year that would have ended on the 31st of March, and therefore we also take quite a number of activities as far as that work is concerned, and obviously auditors then come on the ground as well there with us throughout this particular period. I'm not going to get into the slides where we try and show the link of activities. We are right at the end of our five-year strat plan, and I think most of the activities that we have running from the gender transformation hearings, our own tools that we put together to check gender mainstreaming, advocacy, and all that link directly to some of the highlights or priorities that are in SONA, that are in the NDP, so I'm not going to get into that. For this reporting period, we have been able to achieve 78% of the target for the quarter. And I think as much as we are aware that it's good to ensure that every quarter you reach the 100% all the targets that you have placed for the quarter, I think many a times first quarter also is where we try and get together with some stakeholders and try and see how we are going to move forward on some of the activities. And therefore 78% from where we are sitting is not bad, considering as well that when you look at how we have been doing all the years of the Commission, we've been moving from 54% mark right to 60% mark in the last financial year, and there is quite an improvement in terms of ensuring that the very first quarter targets are sitting at 78%. And we have already put in place plans to ensure that some of those activities that could not pick up are able to then pick up. I think just to highlight, many a times, and we always indicate when we come here, we always have problems. I think some of the departments, and specifically specifically this year we had issues with the Department of Correctional Services, because it's one of the departments that we are going to be monitoring in this particular year. And what they have been doing was just to give us a lot of issues, and I think forgetting that we are by law a constitutional body and we should be able to get information from them. And we have spent quite a bit of our time in this quarter, you know, writing backwards and forwards between the officials there. Because part of what they are now trying to do, as we indicated and wrote to them to say we will be monitoring them this current financial year, they came back to give us quite a number of things that we thought were stumbling blocks, including wanting to influence you know, our own research and all that. I think they kind of mistaken us for any other NGO or any other research company that wants to come in and do research. Mm-hmm. And we've had to sort of spend quite a lot of time trying to engage with them, writing letters backwards and forwards to try and highlight what our mandate is as the commission and what our expectations are at a point when we then indicate that we will be evaluating them. So those are some of the pitfalls that in many instances make it impossible for us to reach specific targets that we would have wanted in the first quarter, because instead of now being on the ground and doing what needs to be done, training them on our gender barometer tool so that they can give us the information that is required, then we've been spending quite a lot of time trying to explain what our mandate is, and that they can't influence. All that they have to do is to give us access. So that is just by way of example. In terms of some of the issues and the problems that we just encountered, but nonetheless, we should be able to get on now in this current second quarter, and we will ensure that we catch up and ensure that by the end of the second quarter, we have covered both the work that we're supposed to have covered in the first quarter and for the second quarter. I think slide 8, this one is not moving, it's not doing anything, so I'm just concentrating on the paper. We just tried to highlight, just to give a sense, which strategic objectives are scoring how in terms of percentage terms. So that's just what that particular slide is all about. In this quarter as well, I think we've seen our well-functioning relationships also assisting us as the commission. We have been reporting, I think, quite a number of times that we had a relationship with the NCRF in this particular year. We've also escalated that particular relationship, and I think part of that also comes out of the discussions that we've had with members of this committee. We have been able to now engage and have a particular relationship with GCIS. And that has helped, because in this current quarter we've now seen us being able to have quite a number of community radio slots that we acquired specifically through the relationship with GCIS. Our slots, obviously, because this quarter was looking at Youth Month, we're concentrating on celebrating the youth. And as well, we had a PSA, a public service advert that we normally do on a thematic basis, depending on what we would be celebrating in a particular quarter. And because this quarter was also a youth month, the SABC Foundation relationship has once again been able to assist us together with NEMISA. For us to be able to come up with a particular PSA that was imparting information on gender equality, gender-based violence specifically, and targeting our youth. We are expected many a times to always highlight what the cost is as far as those PSAs are concerned. we got it for free, but coming from the SABC, they've indicated that the free airtime that they gave us during this particular youth month was 1.4 million. So we also, looking at our DIA budget, we always recognize those kind of relationships and recognize that they are helpful for ensuring that we have reach in the country, even though we do not necessarily have resources. In this youth month as well, we further embarked on the Take the Girl Child to Work, as we normally do, but I think differently. Normally what we do...
If you can give us which document then you can give us.
The APP document.
You can give us the pages.
I'm now on slide 11.
Page 11.
Yes.
Thank you.
And as far as the work under normal circumstances, we always get Commissioner Mazibuko to lead us. As far as the Take a Girl Child to Work is concerned at head office, but this year we were actually able to also filter that into our provinces, and we target school-going youth. To then have some engagement in the provinces. Some of them were taken to some of the mining institutions, some of the science and engineering and technology institutions, as a way to try and expose them and hopefully generate an interest for hard sciences. Page 12, key issues that have been surfacing across the province, they relate to gender-based violence, and I think almost all the provinces in this particular quarter, if you look into their reports, they've also indicated that GBV is a major problem, and I think I'm not going to get too deep into that because the chair has highlighted some of the issues. Page 13. I think as far as that work is concerned, we still are trying and pushing very hard. We're hoping that we'll have a high-level meeting between the various ministers just to see if we can't really get this coordinated program going. I think the biggest issue that has come out in this particular quarter, though it came out from two provinces specifically, they have highlighted that there seems to now be an increase of male rape in their own provinces, violence on men and boys. From the top of my head, I think one of the provinces was the Free State, but I would have to check Eastern Cape. So those were the provinces that sort of, you know, showed us her violence, but now violence targeted at men and boys specifically, indicating an increase from that particular perspective. In the current reporting period, we also tried to engage with quite a number of strategic partners in order to still see if we can't get some funding. You know, normally we finalize our APP and then we take the APP and try and engage with various UN agencies and various other people to see if they can have an interest on specific activities that we have so that they can partner with us. And we had a meeting, a follow-up meeting, because we had had various meetings with the Danish embassy. And they had shown an interest specifically on our radio program. And we are still hoping that they will come back to us now, because initially when we engaged on various activities that we could possibly work in together on in the APP. However, the meeting that we had in this particular quarter, crystallized and they were really having an interest. So we had to go back and rework specifically, just looking, our proposal, just looking specifically at the radio program, because that's what they had indicated that they would be having an interest in. We've also, for this quarter, were approached by an NGO that is based within the Department of Basic Education, that is being funded by Flemish government, and they are working on pedagogy. I always say for this quarter, I got enriched in terms of learning new concepts. In my lawyer life, I never knew that there was anything called pedagogy, which apparently is a curriculum for teachers. So we were invited to work with them on pedagogy, curriculum for teachers, in ensuring that we gender mainstream the curriculum for teachers. And they wanted us to define specific gender concepts. We've been now having a various workshops. We went and sat with their writers. They have a team of people that are writing this curriculum that are coming from various spaces. And it seems it's a project that they are undertaking between South Africa, Zambia, and Rwanda. So we've been sitting with them and assisting them in terms of ensuring that whatever that they put on the table is also looking into gender issues properly, and hopefully that in the long term will help us curb the kind of gender issues that we've seen coming out of our schools. We were further approached by SAB InBev on a project that they are working on creating safer communities. I think they came forward because we have had quite a number of interviews on gender-based violence. And one of the things that we had highlighted specifically looking at the work that we were doing in the Northern Cape was the fact that there seems to be some sort of relationship as far as alcohol and abuse is concerned. And on that basis, they then came forward wanting to work with the commission on creating safer communities. So we are still trying to see and work on specific projects, which we hope that will be in a position to assist the country. The Commission further partnered with the Foundation for Human Rights, and we held an intergenerational dialogue that focused on leadership and decision-making and empowerment. And as well, we have been crisscrossing the country with the Foundation for Human Rights, working specifically on 1325, UN Resolution 1325. I think we have reported previously when we were working on our CEDAW report processes that what we see in the country is the fact that we do not have anything that ensures that we put a plan in place as expected by the UN Resolution 1325 and other related resolutions. And we have been working. And now the good thing with how many countries that are not really at war with themselves is also looking at infusing gender-based violence. So that's what we are doing now, to try and also infuse issues around gender-based violence, because 1325, I think, purely is more about peace and security. But in our own perspective, we are trying to now put in issues relating specifically to gender-based violence. So that just concludes an overview in terms of a high-level overview in terms of some of the activities that we have taken over this particular quarter. And I will now get into specific strategic objectives or as contained in the APP, just to give a sense and a high level in terms of how we have done on specific strategic objectives. Getting into, I won't get into 16 thing just highlights the actual strategic objectives and the sub-strategies that support it. But we will then look into progress, which is then running from slide 17 onwards. Under submissions made for legislative and policy enhancement, we have worked on about seven submissions for this particular quarter, looking through the bills that have come through this parliament and ensuring that we mainstream those particular bills. I think of importance as far as this work that we are doing is concerned, and perhaps it goes back to the kind of work that we have been doing as far as trying to push that there is recognition and for maternity benefits specifically for self-employed workers. I think in previous reporting periods we have highlighted and reported on the work that we had been doing specifically as well with COSATU and some of the other FEDUSA and all the other unions, looking specifically into the fact that what you have as far in the labor laws as far as UIF is concerned, you can only get UIF if you are formally employed and your employer is able to then contribute for UIF. However, if you are a self-employed worker, you are not given a chance to also contribute if you want to contribute, so that at a point when you take your maternity, you are able to then claim those particular benefits. So it's one of the things that we have highlighted, and the South African Law Reform Commission has then taken up this particular project up. They are going to be looking into what needs to be put in place. And we have a comrade seated here as our head of parliamentary unit, having been co-opted into that particular committee that was formed by the Minister of Justice in looking at maternity and paternity benefits for self-employed workers. So we do hope that some of the issues that we have been working on and we've put forward and we've documented will be able to take in forward when that committee does its work. As far as the gender barometer report is concerned and assessing policies in public and private sector, members will remember that we are still staying even this year with the mining sector. And we are now engaging with Impala Platinum and Xstrata. Remember that last year we did Sibanye Gold and Exxaro Resources. Guiding documents were drafted as we wanted in this financial year, and we have been able to have quite a number of briefing sessions with the mining houses. In order to, you know, whenever we do the gender barometer, we kick start the year by selecting specific companies that we'll be working on with, and then we then take them through or sort of train them through the gender barometer, which is that web-based tool where we can be able to check how far they are doing as far as gender mainstreaming is concerned. So we didn't have any problems there, and we have started with our engagement. For the court monitoring report, we have finalized our court monitoring report, and we have also lodged it with Parliament. We have also started the first quarter by engaging with the Justice Cluster in terms of highlighting some of the issues that we have seen as we were monitoring all these courts in terms of where we think the blockages are and what are the challenges on some of those courts. So we are hoping to see also an improvement there. We normally have a policy dialogue a process, but for the first quarter of the financial year, the idea is now that we finalized our reports come 31st of March, then we look into those reports, and then we produce something like this, which we call a policy brief, which then gives us a sense of how, you know, we try and summarize so that when we have dialogues with policymakers, they don't necessarily have to go through our big report. We sort of put all the silent issues out there. This one that I have here is the one that is on police, because we had a report on SAPS on GBV in the last quarter. So we will be now starting from the second quarter to engage with policymakers on some of the issues that are coming out as far as this work is concerned. We have also engaged, as I indicated, with correctional services. We are trying to assess the plight of women in correctional facilities. And that's where I've indicated that in this quarter, you know, not much has been done because we were just having those particular engagements as they were not coming out very positive in allowing us access. But we're hoping that we'll be able to change. Gender transformation investigation report, I won't touch there. I think the acting chair also highlighted sort of the work that we did, and many a times there are really those issues and we still find inadequate policies in place to look into quite a number of issues. And in this particular financial year, we are also trying to change our strategy in actually ensuring that we have a conversation with the unions separately, not unions, with the student bodies separately in universities before we actually have engagements with management. So we've widened our pool a little bit just to ensure that the information that we get from vice chancellors, we compare it with the information that we've received from other areas within the university itself. So that's now how we are trying to ensure that we get proper information as far as that is concerned. We will be assessing women's representation and participation in the traditional sector, and through our research we have selected KZN, Eastern Cape, Mpumalanga in the Northwest, and we have been having quite a number of engagements already with the houses of traditional leaders as far as those provinces are concerned. I think of importance to note, especially when it comes to Mpumalanga, in the previous financial year, one of the work that we've been doing was to engage with COFTA and the chief's wife, Amakosikati, on the ground in terms of trying to see, because they seem to be quite marginalized. So we've been having quite a number of engagements, and I think one of the things that we saw in this second quarter that we are in, especially in August, is the fact that COCTA has taken some of those issues forward. They have had a meeting where they were now trying to formally recognize them as a body, and we have been invited, I think, in around 14, 15 of September. There's a specific meeting, and we do realize, you know, in some quarters, some people really taking some of our recommendations forward. Strategic objective 2, which is in page 22, I'm not going to go through all the sub-strategies or the supporting sub-strategies. This is where we house our work as far as legal department is concerned. I think for the financial year, we closed the period with 394 pending files, complaints, and during this reporting period, we were able to open 191 files. It's still becoming a little bit difficult still because we still don't have a software for us to be able to give a succinct and clear analysis of some of the complaints, but I will deal with some high-level analysis. I mean, it's difficult to do on a one-by-one basis because we are all over the country, but we will try and give a highly summarized version in terms of what kind of complaints we are having. This strategic objective also houses the legal and outreach clinics work that we undertake as the commission. And for this particular period, we were able to hold 43 outreach and legal clinics across the country. And that has assisted, because we are really able, and it assists, it goes together hand in hand with some of the, even the radio, community radio stations that we have, because we are able to then go to communities, impart information in terms of what their rights are, what is it that we do as a commission, and be able to also open some files where there are specific discrimination cases that are coming up. Page 24 just is a summary of trying to highlight the number of complaints that we have had per province. And page 25, I also won't dwell with it, it's just a graphic representation in terms of the number of files that have been opened per province and the number of files that have been closed per province as well. In looking at analyzing some of the complaints that have come to us, we're still seeing quite a number of gender-based violence issues coming up. We still have maintenance problems that are still creeping our provinces, and some general discriminatory practices. And when we compare with quarter four, we see that there's been a slight decrease as far as GBV is concerned in terms of our specific complaints. That is, I mean, we had about 32 specific complaints that we opened during the fourth quarter, but this year, I mean, this quarter we opened 31. I mean, it's not a very big difference, but yeah, there is that is coming out. And I think this really speaks to issues as we've highlighted, as I've indicated previously, in terms of GBV that has been identified as an emerging issue, still an emerging issue, and as I've highlighted in the overview. Maintenance matters have also increased compared to where we were in the fourth quarter. In the fourth quarter, we had 20 complaints, and now we are sitting at 42 complaints. That's like over 50% of increase as far as that is concerned. I had already highlighted that, I mean, GBV complaints were largely opened in Gauteng, Northern Cape, and Mpumalanga. These are largely working clients, and those that are also reported in the media. Remember that as the commission as well, we are able to investigate out of our own accord, as and when we see things coming up in the media, we are able to then take that up and look into those processes. And maintenance is still largely in Limpopo and Northern Cape. And these are just issues that look into delays of maintenance payments and general maintenance processes. I think we try as much as possible to ensure that we follow through, we assist complainants. And I think it's also a bit of a worry, especially you know, on maintenance, because we Parliament, I think last year has passed an amendment. I don't know whether maybe it's the amendment that is assisting communities to actually come up on some of these matters. But not so long ago, there was an amendment that was passed on the Maintenance Act. and perhaps probably that shows, but we still need to really check as the commission to see whether there's a clear correlation or whether there's something else. So as the year progresses, we will be able to then check and see if these numbers are getting high on the basis of those, or whether it's also you know, some of the other problems that we may have in the country. Northwest Limpopo, Gauteng, again, and KZN, we see general discrimination practices coming up. And these are somewhat discriminatory practices that have a propensity of denying complainants access to justice. And here, Chair, we look specifically at KZN, where we really have South Africa SAPS, where many of the things that are coming up from KZN, the fact that SAPS officials are refusing to serve protection orders against perpetrators mostly. And so I think it's important, and a plenary of commissioners has also agreed that they will be heightening their efforts to also engage Minister of Police. So that we see how this is going. So we are really hopeful that in this current quarter we will be able to have an ear with the minister and be able to engage and see what needs to come. Because we see it across the country. I mean, it may be high or lifted up in some of the provinces, but whether it's things that are coming up from the media and some of the work that we are doing, it has been indicative, and we have also highlighted that in the previous financial year when we were working on this SAPS report. I won't get into those specific new complaints and slides. I will move directly to slide 32, where we are looking at some of the things that our PI is doing. PI works in collaboration with legal whenever we have outreach clinics that are conducted. In this particular quarter, PI also worked very hard to try and simplify the training manuals which we have put in place on SDG 1 and SDG 2. So we are just coming up SDG by SDG, so in this quarter they just concentrated on 1 and 2, and they're still currently going on engaging with various municipalities in training them as far as SDGs are concerned. Systematic investigations that we had the transformation of the judiciary. We are still doing some follow-ups specifically on the some of the recommendations that we had on that. So it's just to highlight that we've been engaging, and we are hoping that we will see progress as far as our recommendations are concerned. Decrim of sex work, we are still working towards making a submission with the help assistance of the parliamentary unit, now that the paper, the South African Law Reform paper, is out. It came out, it was released in May 2017, so we are still trying to put our own submission together. And of course, we had a specific complaint that we were dealing with, where we were looking at abuse of SAPS on this particular matter. We are looking into finalizing this report in the second quarter. I think the team was ready in the first quarter. However, there was information that a research information that then came out that they then felt that they needed to go back and look into that and see how to beef up their own report. Maternal health, it's still upon us. We're still engaging with the Department of Health The Department of Health has requested that we give we get consent papers from the complainants, and if they are not deceased on some of the issues, I think if members will remember, this is the matter that pertains to sterilization of disabled persons. So we are still trying to engage. We are working very closely with the Women's Legal Center here in Cape Town on this particular matter. Mining investigation, we held a consultative meeting with the mining companies. DBS attended the meeting, and we saw some progress that they've put in ensuring that they promote gender equality in their workplace. And Glencore did not appear, but we are now happy because they've now come up forward, and it's one of the mining companies, as the acting chair has indicated, where we have been doing some training. The second training was actually held yesterday with them. So as much as they failed to appear, but I think as far as progress is concerned, I think there seems to be a bit of progress that they are putting in place. Still with strategic objective 2, local government SDGs program for the reporting period, we're still engaged with municipalities, as I have highlighted. In Limpopo, we were able to specifically train chairpersons, MMCs, and special programs managers, and this was facilitated by SALGA Women's Commission. So those particular relations that we have with SALGA Women's Commissions in the various provinces is actually assisting us. Public hearings, I think I spoke about this as I was highlighting some of the things. I'm not going to get there. The previous public hearings and the fruits that we are seeing as far as Mpumalanga and Amasofika is concerned. We spoke about the radio slots. The radio slots also fall specifically under strategic objective 2. And through the partnerships, strategic partnerships that we have there, we're able to undertake 22 radio slots. And I've just tried to highlight specifically those community media radios, and I won't get there. In terms of the total number of leech, as we are doing our workshops, our work on the ground, we've seen the reach. We see that we are also dropping again in terms of reaching our male counterparts as far as some of these workshops are concerned. If you look at those numbers in that particular table, you can see, the table is on page 38, I think you can see that the numbers are dropping, but we are still pushing on, even trying to ensure that we reach other colors as well as far as our work is concerned. Chair, strategic objective 3, we are still drafting some of the reports. Our international protocol reports, and we will finalize those in the financial year, but the work is in progress. We've had quite a number of engagements in various in the Eastern Cape province specifically, just to go and speak to government there and some of the civil society organizations to see how we are doing and what their take is on some of these international instruments, and we are hoping that we will be able to have our report put on table. In this quarter, we also had engagements in the last quarter of the last financial year, in March specifically, where we engaged on our AGDI report, and there were specific inputs that we received, so we just worked on looking into those specific inputs. Communications, I think I've spoke at length really in terms of what we have done in collaboration with quite a number of institutions. So I'm not going to to get into that. Safe to just indicate, Chair and members, that out of this, the relationship that we've been having with NEMISA as well, we have been able to now, they have opened their doors to us training some of their students that they have. And remember that they are also a state institute that is put in place to train so that they kind of feed into journalism. So we are hoping that as we train them whilst they are at NEMISA, that we will also be able to see some fruits as they get into journalism, where we will have a more a balanced journalist that understands issues of gender. I think recently we've seen quite a number of, whether it's our radio personalities or them, you know, coming out in radio and really speaking not in tandem with gender equality principles. And we are really hoping that we will make a dent as far as that is concerned. And we are also trying, because we are now in relationship really for over the years with the SABC Foundation, and we are trying to see if they can assist us, open up doors so that we can also every now and again workshop their own people so that they understand. I won't talk much because, for instance, in Limpopo we now have a specific complaint that has been opened around some of the issues on LGBTI that came out from a radio personality that went there. So we are still also trying to ensure that we get into that space and see how we can assist in terms of training them. But we're hoping that this project, as it comes up, will assist us so that by the time they get into that space, we have already imparted some information as far as that is concerned. And I'm not really going to go through all the slides that we have. That is just a highlight of how we've been trending and what are the trending posts, how we performed in, as far as social media is concerned, and all that. So I'm really not going to go deeply into that. It was just information sharing. We have attached a chair, a table, of the APP that gives a specific this table that speaks, that gives a specific indication in terms of how we have done, what is it that we have done on the APP. This is as the APP document that we've put in Parliament, because I mean the slides are more just a summary of what is contained in this particular APP document. So I also won't get into it, and I can always take questions if there are specific questions that are highlighted. And Chair, with that, this gives the committee just an overview of the work that the Commission for Gender Equality has undertaken during this first quarter of the current financial year. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, CEO. Let's just go to the financial report. Thereafter, we are going to get a question from the members. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair. Good day, honorable members. The report is comprised of 17 slides. It's titled the Report to the Portfolio Committee for Women in the Presidency, Financial and Related Activities. And the report itself covers activities that have been reported, but and the period covered is 3 months from April up to the end of June 2017. Basically, the purpose is to ensure that the Commission accounts for monies that have been appropriated in terms of the Appropriation Act of 2017. And the content on slide 3, areas that we're going to be talking around is financial performance for the 3 months period.
Macros.
We will also reflect on the financial position and also provide the information to the committee around the matters of PSMA, risk management, supply chain, corporate services, and audit issues. On slide four, just to give context to the presentation, we are showing to the committee the amounts that have been budgeted for in an itemized fashion. We can see that the National Treasury has allocated for the 2017-2018 financial year 78.3 million, the bottom line of that particular slide, 78.3 million. We have presented a budget to the committee at the beginning of the financial year, and then the details have been given, even the discussions around the constraining environment in which the planning had to be conducted were given. So effectively, as well, if you look into the extreme column on the same page, we are indicating percentages of what we have spent. The reddish highlighted the cumulative spend percentage indicates basically how far, how big a dent we have already made into the 78.3 million annual budget. So for the period, April to end of June, we have spent 20.5 million. The details we'll see, and that 20.5 million represents 26% of the annual budget. So we have made a dent to that extent, 26%. And furthermore, basically to give context, this slide basically is it's indicating how monies have been allocated across sub-strategies and also by nature. As you can see, we've got COE, we've got office overhead, and we've got capital expenditure. Effectively, year on year, the injection or allocation from Treasury has increased by 12%. Last year, we were 69.9 million, and this year, we are 78.3. However, the committee should also be or say all the fact that in the previous two financial years, there were budgetary reductions. We basically had to carry our baseline was reduced substantially following the proclamation of those reductions by the then Minister of Finance in 2013. So we're still operating from a low base. On slide six, just a quick high-level financial performance. This is a mini income statement. We can see that for the quarter under review, we have received 19.5 million from National Treasury compared to for similar period in the previous financial year, transfers were at 17.5 million. And we've got other income. We have recognized from the report of the CEO, it was mentioned that about 1.4 million was donated in kind by the SABC Foundation. So we have made that particular recognition in the books. That is why we are having 1.5 million as other income. Included there in as well is the interest income that we're aiming on the bank account. So there are comparative figures for the 3 months in the first 3 months in the previous financial year. So all in all, total revenue for this particular period is 21 million compared to 18 million last year, 3 months up to the end of June 2016. At this point in time, it was 18 million. And expenses are also elaborated, delineated beneath. We can see that the operating expenses are at 5.9 million, similar levels as in the previous year. Personnel expenditure, a slight increase, I think an increase of around 750,000 when we compare the two periods. I think the key driver there would be the cost of living adjustments for staff members from the lowest grade, grading level up to level 12, 7.3% increase has been effected, effective from April. And we also know that there are vacancies, especially for commissioner positions, so therefore the expenditure levels, that is why the expenditure level is also, you know, somewhat flat, despite the fact that there have been salary increases. Depreciation is commonplace, but that in itself, in the final analysis for the quarter under review, we are reporting 582,000 rand plus. But we are not, you know, a surplus generating entity. The CEO has indicated in the introduction to say that the first quarter basically also including refining the plans and the full execution occurs some months subsequent to the commencement of the financial year. So the spending drive will heighten as we go forward. Next slide, basically also in response to the invitation by the portfolio committee, the need basically to report according to our reporting framework in the public sector, reporting by economic classification and program. The slide basically gives those particular figures. If we go by column first, we can see that compensation of employees is 13.3 as reported, depreciation 591,000, goods and services 6.7 million, overall coming to 20.5 million. What is of note from this particular slide would be the fact that as we all know, the CGE web basically is, we're rendering a service. And then the service is being rendered through the use of human resources. So we have a whole lot of, we don't use machines, we use people. So therefore, compensation of employees will be a key driver of expenditure. And the percentage relations indicate that particular effect that for the quarter under review, as it were, 65%, if you look according to the economic classification, 65% is COD, and 35% is goods and services. However, there are underlying reasons which are justifiable, totally justifiable, because we are a service organization. We will... It should also be appreciated that if we look into this particular slide, we see that most of the money is spent on what legislation requires. Commissioner program is legislated. The functions of the commissioners are legislated in the CGE Act, as well as service delivery programs. If you can see on the same slide that the two programs basically are the key drivers, and we're doing work not only as directed by the CGF, but we're doing work as well as directed by PEFUDA. The constitution, I think much of the detail have been shared by the preceding presentation, and we have as well on this particular slide indicated what were the key contributing elements. If you look onto the extreme right, this season has been a season of auditing. Audit fees makes a big contribution into corporate services and also a big contribution into the goods and services expenditure for the quarter under review. Next slide, slide 8. Also, just to graphically give an illustration of how expenditure went per program. From my preceding comment, you can see if you look into the block up there, the highlighted percentages in red, 12% plus 57%, basically 12% representing commissioner program, 57% representing the core service delivery program, all amounts to 69%. So effectively, takeaway from this slide is that 69% were non-administration related expenditure. So we are spending money on what the law requires, by and large. Having dealt with that particular slide, I think we can go to the financial position, slide number 9. Basically, running through the figures quickly, our long-term assets, fixed, let me start with the first block, current assets. We, by the end of June, our cash resources in the bank was 1.4 million. That is 1397189. That is the amount of money we had in the bank account. Last year, June 2016, at the end of that particular month, we had 8 million. The fact is that we used to have cash in the bank coming from previously accumulated surpluses, and over time that particular cash was used for the replenishment of our fixed asset base. We have bought vehicles, we have acquired the IT infrastructure, and then as a result we don't have any extra cash in reserve. So that is where we are as at the end of June. We have a receivable. I think the two should also be looked together. Basically, we had money delays in cash receipts by the Department for Women. We're receiving our treasury allocations via vote setting, which is the vote for Department for Women. Treasury transfers money to them, and then they transfer money to the CGE. So in this particular month, I must say basically that they consistently transfers money according to the agreed schedule. However, by the end of June, there was a few days time lag. So the money which was receivable in June was only received in July. So that issue has been corrected, but as at the reporting period, the end of the reporting period, the money was still not into our bank account. Hence, we have a receivable from them, and then we are not having cash in the bank. So in the overall, our current assets came to 8.6 million. Last year, we also had 8.3 million. The difference is that last year, current assets were in cash, were liquid. And long-term assets, non-current assets indicated below, our net carrying amounts are 5 million. Last year we had 6.9 million. I think what takes the figures down is depreciation. We regularly write off the value of those assets as we go along. And coming to the liabilities, we have 8.3 million of liabilities. Compared to 9.8 or 9.9 in the previous year. Payables that we have, I must also report to the committee that we comply, we do, despite the fact that we have payables as at the end of June, we do comply to the 30-day supplier payment rule. And as you can see, payments which are due and payable to outside third-party service providers, 3.1 million. Part of it, 1.7 million thereof, was payable to the Auditor General. So the remaining 1.4 are for our trade creditors, and then but we do pay them within the stipulated, the required 30 days. Other payables from non-exchange transactions, mainly leave. We 2.2 is leave, and then we've got provisions. Provisions for bonus, provisions for even 13th check bonus, 2.9 million. So the bulk of our creditors, our payables are internal payables. And emphasis is that we are still in a healthy balance sheet situation, but we cannot escape the fact that with spending pressures, budget pressures, the situation will deteriorate over time. We are basically where we are. We are living from hand to mouth. The money that we receive, nothing deserved, nothing whatsoever. So we are hanging in there. However, we do balance as we are using the resources. We want to balance. We want to heighten performance and then building efficiencies. I think we are doing our best next slide 10, which will be just an indication of how cash was utilized over the period. We have received 13 million rand overall, and then we have utilized 16.2 million. And then as a result, we had a net operating cash outflow of 3 million. And then that is what explains basically the balance that we are having at 1.4 million, the last line. So we can move to next slide. Also next topic, supply chain management and corporate services. This is a regulated environment which also requires specific compliance. We are complying. One of the critical things in terms of compliance around supply chain management was the submission of a procurement plan that has been done in compliance with treasury requirements. And then we have had we have issued some key bids for the wide area network. This is basically part of the replacement of the existing services. We were contracted to a service provider, and now the contract has lapsed. We are now reissued a service provider to fulfill that. We have issued for insurance, and we have also issued an RFI, request for information around the complaints management, case management system. The CEO reported that ideally we would want to have tools that enables us to interrogate more, get more information, get more analysis from the cases that we are doing. So we are in the process of acquiring an automated system. M&E tools as well, we have issued an RFI, and then should the prices be within our reach, there will be specific active procurement for those particular automated solutions. For accommodation, the CGE uses the National Department of Public Works as an agency. They basically stand between us and the owners of buildings. So for where we are in terms of the portfolio, we have requested a procurement of alternative accommodation for head office and the Cape Town office. But in our brief, we want the new premises to be within the area, proximity as where we are currently located. So they are busy. They've issued out, according to the report received from them, they've issued out the invitations. So we are hoping that in the next 90 days or so, we'll be knowing how far their procurement processes goes. Fleet management, we have a fleet of 22 vehicles. If you also look into the next slide on page 12, basically drawing a picture on how much we spend. I think on average we're spending around 17,000 per month, and that translates into 5,800 expenditure per vehicle per quarter. And then we are also indicating the fuel consumptions on the bar chart on the right. And where we see the big numbers, the bigger numbers with a bigger font, 8.41 as an example, those are fuel consumption rates. So for every 100 kilometers traveled, in April we have used 8.41 liters. In May, about eight, and then from the industry norms, basically for the engine capacity of the vehicle that we are using, this is satisfactory. It's true that the there's no abuse, so controls are working. That is where we are. So that's the intention of this particular slide. So we are quite satisfied with that. Next slide, page 13, dealing with audit, risk, and action plans. I think in the invite, we were requested also to report on the issues that were raised in the budget review report. As part of that particular report, I think issues of audit action plans around are prominent, and then this slide basically gives a high level as to where we are. So we comply with the Section 38 requirements of the PFMA and related national treasury regulations. We've got a system of risk management embedded within our operations. It's working. There are accountability mechanisms, committee, there's a risk committee in place. So for purposes of the new financial year, as we begin to execute the APP, we have done a full risk assessment in line with the guidelines. And then we have a risk register which has been organizationally adopted. So we are using it basically to ensure that the risk management happens, and then to ensure that the organization is able to deliver without being put astray by the risk that we have identified. So we are managing those actively. And then we don't have any, in the context of what the committee knows, we don't have any significant emerging risk between what the committee knows about the decision environment, nothing whatsoever. And it has been reported that we were under audit, but as well, I mean, coming from the previous audit, there were action plans, there were commitments to those particular action plans, and then management has satisfactorily fulfilled the commitments in the action plans, and then more content will be provided, I think, at a time when the AG finally reports on, because they basically measured objectively of how effective we were in executing our commitments in the action plans. And then that has also been incorporated in the report that there will still be forthcoming to the committee and the public. So that takes us to slide 14, year-end and audit updates. Audit occurred successfully. It happened. We had a plan. The audit plan was executed. The audit committee could exercise its responsibilities, and then by the 28th of July, the audit committee accepted a report from the AG, Auditor General of South Africa, around the regularity audit for the commission for 2016-17 financial year. We are in possession of the report, however, in terms of Section 65 of the PFMA. The audit report is not a public document until the annual report is tabled before Parliament, so therefore we have it, we can make it, we don't have jurisdiction to even table it before any forum. On page 15, basically just a summation of what we have been discussing, the budget spending issues. We will be actively managing the pressures. We have strategies to contain expenses. Despite the fact that we don't have enough space, under those circumstances, we basically do our best to ensure that we deliver on what needs to be delivered, stretching the rent, as it's normally said. And financial management issues, we are getting better and better. I think there's continuous improvement as we are taking recommendations from all audits by the Auditor General, by our internal audit. We implement them, and then there are positive signs of improvements. And basically, all is in the interest of fulfilling what's contained in the Constitution. We need to be as transparent as open as possible. We should be not leaving the spirit of appreciating that there's a party plan, so they've got to be much more heightened, as scrutiny. On the last slide, page 16, from the same tone, basically, of you know, being transparent and open and taking accountability, we are dictated basically to make known things such as fraud and irregularities, litigation and contingencies. So in actual fact, overlapping into the first quarter, that is coming from the fourth quarter of the last financial year. There was a report in which senior management were alleged. I think it's because we are also having systems in place at the institution. We encourage whistleblowing. We have a whistleblowing policy. We have the bean. We advertise basically, encourage people to come forward. I think it's also part of our fraud strategy and fraud plans to ensure that for anybody, I think even the law requires of anybody basically in suspicion of any corruption and the like needs to come forward. So we are also transparent about what has been reported. The report that came against the some members of the senior management team, in which a CG employee was alleging irregularities. Those matters were basically taken through in terms of our own internal policies. The audit committee, which is comprised of outside people, independent outside people, have got investigative powers, basically, according to the audit charter. They've received the report, and then they basically did their own investigation to test the veracity or otherwise of the allegations. And then they've been the process has been concluded, and then the conclusion were that there was no merit found in the allegations that were leveled against those specified in the document. So therefore, from the audit committee perspective, the investigations have been done and then concluded. There was no merit. There was no report of any particular corruption, because this is how the allegations were labeled: irregularities and corruption by those specified in any case. So there wasn't any corruption, as corruption is defined. No, there was no misuse of finances. Irregularities, basically meaning non-compliance with the rules. There was nothing except for, you know, an affirmation of two transactions, which were basically, it's an irregularity in terms of the SCM processes. Transactions which were basically for courier services. There was a courier services, as an example, courier services contract which expired. However, there was procurement for a few months after the expiry of that particular contract. So there was value for money derived. It's only that formalities were not fully complied with. Those were the issues. And then as well, I mean, speaking about the audit committee being overseeing the investigation, because there was this thing also coincided with the audit for 2016-17 year. The AG were fully abreast, they were involved, and the AG as well, they attend the audit committee meeting. So all the details have been transparent to them. They've done their testing and the like. So from where we see the conclusion of no merit. And I know, I mean, I'm the implicated, so I'm cautious basically to speak with authority, but I'm speaking to the report. So objectively the report says no merit.
Okay.
Yes, I'm talking to the report now. So there was nothing found basically. So the matter is beyond us, I think.
Okay, thank you very much.
And okay, thank you.
Yeah.
The last bullet point, if you allow me, Chairperson, is around the litigation that so I think we also need to report this in June, by the end of June. An administrative, the last one, there was an administrative mishap basically, I think, just pressing the button for the second time by mistake, and then the second pressing of the button distributed, you know, two salaries to, for the second time, yes. And then we...
Somebody got lucky.
Yeah.
Yes, we
Okay, this is going to July salary.
Like the 40 million.
It's yeah. Like exactly the same.
So somebody went and bought stuff.
Yes, yes. But we basically detected that earlier on time, basically, and before even before the two salaries could land in employees' bank accounts. Management could detect that and communicated immediately to ask colleagues basically to say, anticipate, we even asked the bank to intercept. There were no guarantees that they could intercept the second payment. So we had to rely basically on cooperation by colleagues, and then that was communicated timely. And then there have been cooperation by and large. I think the net salaries all combined were 2.5 million. And as we have seen basically that we only had 1.4 million, if you look into the financials. We had 1.4 million that would be remaining. So basically, if there was no cooperation, it could have also been in an overdraft situation, which is also prohibited by PFMA. So we could get full cooperation, and the monies were returned bar for a few people. I think it's only around 250,000 which was not returned on time, but that was not there. But as a result, you know, those matters, salary matters and whatever, are also connecting to industrial or labor relations issues. So unfortunately, due to that particular mishap, there have been one of our own